Good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you here this morning. A couple announcements as we begin our service today. If you notice this little insert here, just a reminder about the fall festival that the children are working on and that they're continuing to plan. It's going to be here September the 30th. One good thing is that there are going. It's going to be a fundraiser for the children and the youth program here at Moscow. They're going to be selling apple butter that day, and the kids will be making apple butter as well that day to sell also. So we're looking forward to that, and just put that on your calendar so that you have that and can keep that in mind. There'll also be food available that day and other ways in which you can support the youth program. There is a sign-up sheet out on the kitchen door of things that we will need to make that day a success. So there, we need some donations. That helps out and helps with some of the expense so that they're able to raise lots of money to support the program. Kenny, do you have something to share?
The most important thing we need to not make it on that list on the door.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're still looking for about 5 to 6 gallons of applesauce.
And you can pick up those gallon things of applesauce, I think, at like, where did you say, Kenny?
Well, we looked at Costco yesterday. They didn't have none.
Okay.
So I don't know where we find it.
I tell you, if someone finds it, let us know so we can tell others.
Pick up what you find and then we'll help you out.
Unsweetened applesauce. Unsweetened applesauce is what they're looking for. And we're going to need, probably 20 gallons of this applesauce. It cooks down, so you don't end up with as much as you start with. But we're going to need those donations. We've had some donations already, and we appreciate that. But we're going to need more. So if you can help out with that or any of the other things that are listed on that sheet, please let Kenny Woods know or those in the children's program that can take care of that. Also, just a reminder, the next Sunday we will be at Natural Chimneys for our church picnic. And so it's going to be rain or shine. We have that pavilion there at the very back of the campground, right closest to the chimneys, reserved. So we will be underneath that if it's raining. If not, we'll be out in the grass. But bring a dish or two and a dessert and come and be a part of that. It's just a great time of worship there. Also, key opportunity to invite someone. Please invite a friend and have them come and be a part of that. I know that they will enjoy that. Also, just reminders about that youth event. There is a sign-up sheet also for the CBC Fellowship event. I don't know if you've seen that on the bulletin board as you come in, but there is a place there that you can sign up for that CBC Fellowship event. That's going to be at the Antioch Church in Woodstock. And so that sheet is available to sign up. Kenny, we'll have to get together on a time, I think, for the bus leaving. It says here that they will gather around 4:30 and eat at 5:30. I just need to make sure that's correct. I think the day starts a little earlier, but we'll just need to set a time and when we're leaving. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? I know that's a lot. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, thank you for this Labor Day weekend. Lord, I just pray that each of us has had a restful weekend. Lord, as we turn to this new week, Lord, we seek you. We seek your spirit. We seek your leading, your guiding. And Lord, we seek your strength to get us through each and every day. Father, we just give you praise now this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let us stand together for this morning's call to worship. You'll find this in the inside of your bulletin. And this coming from the first chapter, book of Colossians. It says, "For by Him, that is Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. He is the image of the invisible God. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. He is the firstborn over all creation. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. But in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Let's turn to page 66, "To God Be the Glory," page 66. Like that hymn. Jesus certainly deserves all our praise and glory, doesn't He? Amen. Okay, I want to take just a couple minutes to gather up any of our prayer requests and praises. One particular prayer request that I was able to hear this morning was for Francis Michael. And Donald is here. I can't see him right at the moment. I know he's here somewhere. There he is, right there. Francis, he shared even this morning that Francis is in the hospital. She's getting treatment for infection there on her leg. And so we just pray for her this morning. We know we pray that she gets well and the doctors will get her healed up. And so if you would just be in prayer for Frances. Maybe you want to send her a card. I'm sure you can just send it to the house and Donna will make sure it gets there. But yeah, she certainly would appreciate your prayers. Donald said it's a very serious situation and she needs our prayers of healing at this time. And she was taken to hospital, I believe, yesterday evening. And so she's being treated there at AMC. So we want to be in prayer for her. Also in the hospital is my dad, Dana. He is at UVA. Maybe some of you got the email this week that Thursday he had the surgery to repair that hole beside a heart valve. And we just praise the Lord that they were able to repair that. So we just praise God for that. We're so thankful when the got the call that the doctors were able to do something. We were afraid that they weren't able to do anything. And so they weren't able to fix the hole completely. And that was a little bit of letdown. But they were able to fix most of it. And so that was good. And we were happy about that. I've talked to my mother just over the last 2 days. And he seems as if he's feeling some better. And so we just praise the Lord for that. That's a good sign. And just pray in the coming weeks that he will regain his strength and put some weight back on. I was telling some others he's lost a lot of weight, about 30-some pounds, almost 40 pounds. And so he's got a lot of recovering to do. It's going to take some time. But we know this could be the start of where he needs to get to or go to. So we appreciate your prayers. I know he wants to continue to thank you for your prayers for him and for my mother as well. I know many of you have asked about her and her well-being, and we just thank you for prayers for her. There's not a lot any of us can do other than just keep praying for both of them, really, that God will give my mother strength to be there and healing for my dad. So thank you so much. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we come before you this morning, Lord, with thankful hearts, Lord, as we find that as we come to you in prayer week after week, day after day, Lord, you continue to be faithful to hearing our prayer, answering our prayers, Lord. We had so many people praying for Dana. And Lord, we just see that your hand of healing reaching out now and making that healing possible. Lord, we know that without you, it is impossible. But with you, Lord, all things are possible. Lord, we give you all the credit, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit working in and through the doctors and nurses to bring about the healing there in Dana's life. Lord, we just ask for continued healing there. And we ask to see continued miracles each and every day. For Frances too, Lord, we know that your healing hand is upon her. That same miracle working hand that's working in Dana's life is working in Frances' life as well. And Lord, we just lift her up to you right at this moment, Lord. She needs your healing touch upon her. And Lord, we just pray that the right doctors, the right nurses, and the right medicines will be given to her, Lord. And Lord, that she will receive the care that, Lord, you desire for her to have. Lord, pray for Donald too. Give him strength, Lord, as he's there for his wife. And Lord, we just thank you as a church that we can gather in prayer for those in need. Lord, that's what you've called us to do. And Lord, to pour out our hearts and our prayers for those that are in need. And Lord, we thank you that we can do that. That Lord, we are a part of that healing process because, Father, we seek your healing and we seek your help. Lord, we thank you for this offering this morning that we bring forth. I pray a continued blessing upon those givers. Lord, you continue to bless those that faithfully give and give to you sacrificially. Lord, we thank you for that. Just pray a blessing upon all those that continue to seek to worship you in and through their giving. And Lord, we pray now for our service. Lord, you continue to open our hearts to receive your word. And we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. I need to stop praying right there. I got choked up. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're continuing on through our series on what did Jesus say? John chapter 14. We've had several of these scriptures come from John. And we'll be kind of flipping through John, so have your Bible handy there. But John chapter 14... And we're looking at this Sunday, what Jesus had to say about God. Remember last Sunday we were talking about what Jesus had to say about himself. And we're kind of building on that theme to some extent. We will even pick up a little bit of where we left off last week, talking about Moses, Exodus there, Exodus chapter 3, and this conversation between Moses and God. But this kind of sets the stage for this sermon and what Jesus had to say about God. I guess we could, I kind of took a little different direction in that we could talk about the different actual places where Jesus is speaking directly about God. This is a little bit more general idea of maybe will help us understand that when we're looking at Scripture and when we're looking at the life of Jesus, that his whole life, all that he's doing is speaking about God. He didn't just have moments where he was saying, okay, this is who God is. And there are places where you see where, you know, Jesus would teach, you know, God is spirit. Those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? And so there are places, and you'll find where God is speaking directly towards who the Father is. But there's just another way of seeing this, and I think that's kind of the direction I went with it. And that when you see Jesus, you see God. When you look at what Jesus is doing, what He's saying, what He's teaching, you are seeing God. You're hearing the innermost thoughts of God. You are watching the hand of God, the teaching of God. So what did Jesus have to say about God? Really, His whole life, His whole being, His whole account, His whole story is a teaching of who God is. That's what I want you to hear this morning. So it's not just one place what Jesus has to say about God. Everything that Jesus does, what He did, what He said, teaches us about God. So that's kind of a neat thing here. And so we're going to look here exactly at Jesus saying these same things. Listen, I've said it several times. I don't make this stuff up. You just look right in the Scripture here. Jesus says the exact same thing. John chapter 14, 7 through 11. If you have known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, you know Him and have seen Him. And Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father. And it should suffice for us. It should be sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known Me, Philip? He who has sent Me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in Me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on My own authority, but that the Father who dwells in Me does the works. Believe in Me. I also am in the Father. That I am in the Father and that the Father is in Me. Or else believe Me for the sake of the works themselves. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Literally, Jesus is the definition of who God is. All that He says, all that He does is in His Father's will. It is an act of the Father in and through the Son. Now last week we talked about Exodus chapter 3, where Moses, when he was up on the mountain, and he had a question for God. And this really, this question was, you know, who are You? Who shall I say that sent Me? Verse 13, Exodus chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but Moses said, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent Me to you, and they will say to Me, What is His name? What is His name? And, of course, God replies, I am that I am. That was what He said. So what's in a name, really? What's in a name? Well, names carry a lot of information, don't they? Even today, they carry a good bit of information. Can tell us just by your last name what family you're part of, right? They don't carry quite as much information and importance as they did in olden days. If you, in the olden days, carried the last name or had the name of Miller, what did that mean? Well, it potentially could mean that you were from a family that worked the mill. And you would be called a miller. And so some last names, even today, have Miller. Probably in their history somewhere, they have family that worked at a mill or owned a mill. If your last name was Barber, it's kind of a common name, you were more than likely someone that was a surgeon. You were thinking hair, cutting hair, right? Well, in the old days, barbers were kind of minor surgeries, bloodletting and amputations and things like that. A crocker is a potter. If you know any crockers, a baker, someone that made baked goods, right? Fletcher, someone that potentially made arrows. Fisherman, well, that one gives it away, doesn't it? Probably someone that was in the fishing industry. Marshal, maybe you know someone that has the last name Marshall. That's a keeper of horses. A mason, that's a stone worker. A thatcher or a slater, what do you think they do? They roof. They were roof workers. A tanner, that's probably someone that worked on tanning hides. Carpenter, someone that worked with wood. So you can see that last names or names carried a bit of information. Moses says, what name do I take to the children of Israel? Really, it's what information do you want me to share? These names had meaning. And especially in the Bible, names had meanings. Abraham, father of nations. That meant something, didn't it? His name. In fact, his name was changed, wasn't it? Abram to Abraham. And so God would change names at times because the name carried information. It had importance to it. There was value just in the name alone. It relayed some sort of information. Andrew was a person who was powerful or manly. David meant beloved. Daniel means God is my judge. Noah means rest. Matthew means gift from God. Peter is stone, remember. So these names had meaning back then. And so when Moses comes to God and he says, what name shall I give them? You can understand what Moses is saying here. What information about you do you want me to tell the children of Israel that would be revealed through your name and your name alone? And of course, God says, I am that I am. And thus he says, you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So what does that mean? What does that mean that God is the great I am? Well, maybe some of you thought, well, why didn't he just say, tell them that God sent you? So somebody might ask you, what's the name? What's God's name? Well, his name is God, right? So a lot of times, his name is God. God is God. Well, God really isn't a name. God's a title, isn't it? God's a title. And we give that title, we should give that title to one person, to the true and living God. But unfortunately, we give that title sometimes to a lot of other things in our life. But when it comes to a name, not a title, but a name, God is the great I am. And I want to give you a couple reasons why here, why he is the great I am. First of all, God is the great I am because he is not the great I will be. Think about that. God is the great I am because he is not the great I will be. Now, names, even in the Old Testament, a lot of times the names were changed, like Abram to Abraham. These names were changed, and oftentimes the names were changed because God was putting within their name who he hoped they would be. Who he hoped they would be? Daniel, this judge. God is my judge. And Daniel, you read through his book and you see that who was trying to judge him? Well, Nebuchadnezzar and all those others, but who did he only bow down to? Who did he only fall down and worship? The true and living God. He was the only true judge in Daniel's life. And so, see, the name meant something. God put a name and gave people names at times that he was hoping they would become that person. That he would hope that they would turn into that person and become that person and live up to that name which he had given to them. But that's not the name of God. God isn't living up to some standard that he hasn't achieved yet. He's the great I am because he is already those things. He's not becoming those things. He is already those things. And what that means for us is that we can put our trust in Him today. Amen? We put our trust and our faith in a God that already is all things. There's nothing that God needs to yet be. There's nothing that we're hoping God would eventually become. He is all-powerful, right? We're not waiting, but one day He will be all-powerful. He is all-powerful. And that means we can put our full faith and trust and confidence in the God who is already I am. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes you think about these things, you realize that the name is important. He already is all these things to us, and we can trust in Him. Now, God is the great I am, number one, because He is not the great I will be. Number two, God is the great I am because you are not. Isn't that a good one? God is the great I am because you are not. He is I am, not you. And I think that's important because a lot of times in life, we think that we are the I am. I am going to provide for myself. I am going to make my way in life. I am going to do this. I am going to do that. It's me, me, me. And what God is saying, it's not about you. I am. I'm the one. You're not God. He is. He reminds us, even through His name, that you are not the great I am. You can't be God of your life. A person that makes yourself God of your life, do you know where that person ends up when they leave here? Straight in hell. There's no hope. If you are your own God, can you save yourself? Can you resurrect yourself from the dead? I said last week, when's the last time you ever seen a dead person do anything? They can't do anything. Dead people have no power. They have no authority. They have no ability. There's nothing that a person who is dead can do. But God can. God rose. Jesus said, I rose myself from the grave. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to raise it up again. And so Jesus has power. He has authority. And He wants to be your God. Not you. He wants to be your God. And He wants you to say, not I can or I am, but He can. And He is. He is the great I am. I am, we often say, I'm the one that can do this thing. I'm the one. Well, no, God wants to be the great I am in your life. Okay, He's the great I am because He's not the great I will be. He's the great I am because I am not. And thirdly, He is the great I am. Notice here, so that Jesus could make known the hidden God through the visible Son. That's really, He's the great I am because Jesus would eventually come and make visible the invisible God. That's what Jesus is saying here in the description. Philip's saying, I don't know who the Father is. And Jesus is saying, don't you see me? You're thinking, I don't know who God is. I don't see God. Reveal to us the Father. And he's saying, Philip, don't you know that when you're looking at me, that I am the great I am. Remember last week I talked about that Jesus uses that word, that statement, I am. Boy, I wish you, just in your Bible, as you read through the Gospels, when Jesus, look at how many times He uses the statement, I am. You think that's just by coincidence? No. He's taking for Himself, and rightfully so, the title of I am. I am. And He's showing us, He's telling us that He is the visible image of an invisible God. If you have seen me, Philip, you have seen my Father. I have been with you so long, Philip, have you not known me? Who's he saying me? Have you not known me? Have you not known that I am God? That I'm the Father? For he who has seen me has seen the Father. Verse 9. So how can you say, show us the Father? Listen, if you want to know who God is, if you want to know what defines God the Father, all you need to do is open your Bible and read about the life of Jesus. Because as you read His life, He is showing you who God is. Who God is. You will always know the truth about God. And you will know this truth when you read the Scripture and see the life of Jesus. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. Jesus reveals the Father to us. And all that Jesus did, He shows us who the Father is. And we know this truth. Listen, you will never know the truth of who God is without first seeing the truth of who Christ was. Okay, I want to take you, and I kind of alluded to this last week as I ended the sermon. And Jesus used these I am statements, particularly there was seven of them that He used. And the first one's back in John chapter 6. I want you to turn back there with me, because I want you to see these statements a little differently than maybe you had before. And realize that what Jesus is doing here is really defining for us God through them. John 6, 35, verse 35. And here is the I am statement. John 6, 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, Jesus is just not laying out this statement and trying to understand who He is. He's trying to get you to understand who God is. I am. Who's the great I am? God, right? He took the name of I am, and here Jesus is defining what that name means. I am, or that is, God is to you the bread of life. That's who God is. He's the bread of life. This scripture comes really on the foothills of feeding the 5,000. And they hungered for bread. They wanted more bread. They wanted bread you could dip in sauce maybe or gravy. That's the bread they were looking for. And then they pointed out, well, hey, Jesus, you broke some bread and you multiplied bread, but Moses in his day, he rained down. He allowed God to, he rained down manna from heaven, bread from heaven. Jesus, if you're so great and powerful, how is it that Moses could rain down this bread? And of course, he reminds them, Moses didn't do anything. It was God that brought the bread to the children of Israel. But then he reminds them and he says, but I'm the true and living bread. It's not that bread that you should hunger for, that physical bread, but you should be hungering and thirsting for me. For I am the bread of life. Listen, in your life without God being God, remember taking that title of really God in your life, you will continue to hunger and thirst. Your spirit will hunger and thirst. It's like a vacuum in your life. Maybe it's a particular shape. And whatever you try to put in that vacuum hole to clog it up, to make you finally feel as if you're content, you're not needing anymore, you're content, that nothing apart from God will fill that hole. And you will hunger and continue to thirst. And you'll try to fill it with all sorts of things. You'll think, if I just have more possessions, if I could just have more, if I could just have that piece of property or that house or that car, if I could just get those things, that finally I will feel content with me. And guess what? You'll get those things maybe. You'll work hard. You'll achieve those things. And guess what you'll do after you get them? For some reason, you're not content with that anymore. That's not enough. That was enough, you thought, but not anymore. Now it's the next big house down the road. Or the next boat. Or the next whatever thing. And you keep thirsting and you keep hungry. You say, well, if I could just get that next position, if I could just elevate myself to that next level, if I could just accomplish that job or that occupation that I know I want, if I could just get to that level, if I could be that person, I know that I will be content, that I won't hunger and thirst like I do now. And guess what? You'll get that position or you'll get that promotion and it's not enough. Maybe it will be for a little bit, but then you'll hunger and thirst more. Maybe you say, well, if I could just be good at this sport, if I could just be superior out on the golf course or flying model airplanes or whatever the hobby is, if I could just get to that level, that finally I'll be content. And guess what? You never will be. I don't care what you put in your life that is a God. That's what it is. You're given the title of God that should go to the true and living God to something else in your life. You will continue to hunger and thirst. It's never enough. Never enough. God has to be God. He says, receive the true and living bread, which you only find in me, in God. In God being God. Okay, turn to John 8:12. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Who is God to us? God is the light, isn't He? He reveals the darkness. What's the darkness? Well, that's the evil, right? God is that light in our life that reveals the evil and gives us the true light. He is the true light. God is that true light in our life. God wants to be that light in our life. And God needs to be that light in our life. He helps us to clearly see between what's right and what's wrong, doesn't He? Walking without the light of Jesus is a dangerous thing. You ever tried to walk through a room without a light on? How many times have you stubbed your toe on something, let out a yell, ah? Hey, it's a dangerous thing walking through a room, even if you know the room. You might be familiar with it. Turn the light out, and guess what? You can get hurt. Jesus is the light of the world. God is our light. He helps us to clearly see. He protects us. Don't walk without the light of God in your life. Okay, number three here, John 10:9. You should underline these in your Bible. Keep them on hand. God's, again, He's defining who God is. God's the great I Am, and Jesus is saying, the I Am is what? He's the bread of life. The I Am is the light of the world. The I Am, notice here, in John 10:9, He says, I am the door. Anyone who enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus, God is the door. He's the one that, without God, there is no eternal life, right? There is no beyond. He is the door. And through Him and Him alone do we find not only eternal life, but life. And life more abundantly. John 10:11, we'll just come down a little bit. What's He say there? I am the good shepherd. God is that shepherd in our life, isn't He? Who is God? He is your shepherd. And He helps us. He watches over us. What does the good shepherd do? He protects the sheep, doesn't He? He makes sure the sheep are fed and watered. Looks after them. Tends for them. Shepherd has a heart of love for the sheep. God loves you. And He protects you. And He cares for you. And He watches over you. You know, the good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. That's a good shepherd, right? He'll put himself in between him and the wolves. He'll stand his ground. And even if he has to give his life for the sheep, the good shepherd is willing to die. God was willing to die for you. Who is God? God is someone who was willing to die so that I might be protected and have life. That's who God is. Okay, John 11, 25 through 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It's a good question, isn't it? Do you? Jesus asked you the same question. Do you believe this? God is our resurrecting power, isn't he? Through Christ, he makes us alive from the dead. And he purchased us even for our sins there upon the cross so that we might have life. Okay, John 14, 6. You can see we're moving pretty quick here. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who is God? He is the way, isn't he? He is the right way. He is the right path. He is the truth. In him is truth. In God is all truth. You will find no lie, no wrong in God. He is the truth, and in him is life. He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life, isn't he? And he is that resurrecting power of life that we have come to find in and through Jesus. And lastly, we'll look here, John 15, 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Who is God to us? He is the one that we must be abiding in. We must always be abiding. In him is life. In him is the resources for us to produce that fruit in our life that we want. What's the fruits of the Spirit? Joy, peace, long-suffering. All these wonderful things that we want to have. Who is God? Boy, those seven statements right there put a good foundation for who God is. He's the bread of life. He's the way, the truth, and life. He's the resurrection. He's all these things, isn't he? He's the great I am. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, how he reveals to us the hidden things of God, how we come to know who God is because of Jesus. Lord, we have seen the Father, Lord, because we know the Son. And all that we need to know about the Father, we come and find in and through the Son. And if any of us today, Lord, I know you're telling us, Lord, if any of us would want to know the Father more, all we need to do is get to know your Son, Jesus, better. Lord, I just pray that we all seek to know him more in our life. Just like these seven I am statements, Lord, I just pray that we continue to seek and be open to receiving the truth of you, Lord, through the teaching of Jesus. Lord, we see you and your face as we look upon the face of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. We praise his name here this morning. We worship him and only him. He's the only one, Lord, that could say he and the Father are one. Lord, thank you so much for his witness. Lord, for his revealing of the Father, the true Father of lights there in heaven for us. We praise him. We praise your Son, Jesus. We worship him this morning. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather in our closing hymn now, page 98. I think this is a fitting hymn after what we've just heard. And that is, Jesus, we just want to thank you. And I think it's just one verse, isn't it? Maybe we'll just sing it through twice. Is it one verse? Oh, it's five verses? Boy, was I off. Wow. Yeah, maybe we'll just sing it through, what'd you say, Susan? Yeah, first one twice. I think that'll be great. Let's stand together and share in our closing hymn. First verse twice. Don't just sing it, worship the Lord. Jesus, I just want. Our heads in prayer. Lord, just feels so good right this moment just to show our thanks for you, Lord. We just thank you so much for your son, Jesus. Lord, this hymn, this one verse reminds us just how thankful we are for you. Lord, you're so much more than just a Savior. You're a friend. Lord, you're so much more in your life than just telling us what's right. Lord, you are revealing to us who God is. Lord, when we look upon your face, we look upon the face of God. Lord, we thank you so much. We praise you here this morning. We just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.